music, news, entertainment. It's all right here. This is the Kelly Alexander Show.
Hey, it's Kelly, and we kick off the show with our music editor, Sharon Hyland, talking about how some group members from popular boy bands and girl groups have to move on and find other creative avenues after the band either breaks up or goes on hiatus, like the boys of NSYNC. We then take a trip into our vintage vault and have a conversation with Canadian actress Megan Rath, talking about her successful acting career and being cast in Children Ruin Everything.
Follow us on Instagram, Kelly Alexander Show.
Always excited when our music editor, Sharon Hyland, pays us a visit and knocks on the door. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, Kel. Thanks for letting me in.
I always let you in. It's very good. So very excited to talk this week about the fact that some artists who have been in groups have had to move on with their life when either said group breaks up and or goes on indefinite hiatus.
Right.
A la NSYNC.
Where
I have felt bad for years for many of the group members. And I shouldn't say bad, but like, I think after listening to an episode that Lance Bass did on his podcast, where he talked about how the band wasn't really planning on going on the hiatus that turned into like 20 whatever years.
Yeah.
But it was when Justin's career took off.
Right.
And they thought that it might be like X amount of time for him to, you know, record that solo album, do this, the album cycle where he tours or whatever, and then they would come back. That never happened.
Yeah.
He never came back. And so they all had to like go on. And as you and I know, and again, the listeners who are listening to us right now, there's usually somebody in a boy band or a girl group that is the star. There might be two of them, but there's usually one that's the lead dog. And they might have the opportunity to go off and do amazing things, but not everyone else can handle the solo situation.
Nope.
And so that is, again, prime example with NSYNC and Justin Timberlake. So Joey Fatone in a new interview talked about how he actually embraced the idea of having to reinvent himself when NSYNC went on an indefinite hiatus. And I think that was a great attitude to have, especially for someone, you know, because he would have been in his like mid-20s, I guess, at the time when they took the hiatus. And so what are your thoughts on him? Because he, you know, took the opportunity that NSYNC provided him and went on to Broadway.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing about NSYNC in particular is that, and similar to the other boy bands, they always put the strength of the vocalists on two people. You know, even though there were often four or five members in these bands, it was always two, you know. So for NSYNC's case, it was Justin and JC. And obviously the other three guys weren't just given a ride. Like they could sing and they were talented. So for Joey Fatone, he clearly just took it and ran with it. The fact that he got himself to Broadway. And I don't think they're just given Broadway roles out, you know, like you kind of have to earn it, be good, like consistently good. And he, what was it? He did Rent. And what was the other big one he did?
I'm blanking right now.
Me too.
I think I
like significant. Like, I mean, even if he had just done Rent.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like even if he just did one very known show or even a not well known show that he made it to Broadway past being in a boy band. I think is more than commendable.
Yeah, I just looked it up, Little Shop of Horrors.
That's it. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, do you watch the show We Are Family? It's on Fox. It's a show where someone comes out and they sing a song, and behind the screen is their family member. You have to guess who the family member is based on clues that they put up on the screen. Okay, so the family member's out front, and they're singing the song, and they're doing a duet with someone behind the screen.
Wow.
And so you get sometimes pretty obvious clues. But anyways, Joey Fatone was on a couple of weeks ago. His sister came out. She was the guest. And, you know, you talk about who's your relative and what do you think and whatever. And she doesn't say if it's her brother or anything.
Yeah.
You just see the clues on the screen come up. And based on those things, when you guess determines an amount of money that you can win. So the whole audience is kind of in on it. Okay. Anyways, was very easy to spot, I think, based on the clues, which I don't remember, but I'm like, Joyf, don't.
Yeah.
also because his sister kind of looks like him, or he kind of looks like her.
Yeah.
So it was cool to see him because, again, he very talented man.
Mm-hmm. And he's made a career out of appearing on like reality shows, because he even mentioned in the article that we read that, you know, he had gone on Dancing with the Stars.
Right.
And that helped raise his profile for people just to get to know him as a person a bit more, like during that, you know, the process of that. Because yeah. I think too, where he was in the band, again, like you said, JC, Justin were more pushed forward, even though I think, you know, they probably all had their little pages in 17 magazine back in the day.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, and there's obviously tons of people that love Joey. But what are your thoughts, too, on, for example, like Backstreet Boys has managed to New Kids, like they all had, you know, like Jordan for New Kids, he did go off and do a solo album, but it right. never went to the heights of Justin Timberlake.
Right. You know?
And when you look at Backstreet Boys, like Nick Carter did very well, but not Justin Timberlake well.
Yeah.
And so they both those groups had to come back together in order to continue in any regards, really, in the music industry, because they needed the strength of the five of them.
Yeah.
To do well. So yeah. What are your thoughts on that? Because it, in the end, I think it's worked out better maybe for them that there was no quote unquote full superstar.
Yeah. Yes, I concur. That's okay. It. yeah, it's interesting though. Like, even when there is a superstar and the superstar leaves, the rest of the band can't stay together because they, yeah. I think the fan base would lose their marbles.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing? It's not complete, you know? So it really does put the pressure on the people who are equal members of these bands to then have to do something to prove themselves, even if what they wanted to do solely was be in a group.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's such a weird, what's the word I'm looking for? Acceptance or like, mm-hmm. it's almost like you have to, it's like high school almost. You have to be accepted in for more than what you are.
Yeah.
Like, isn't it okay that they were members of a band? They didn't have to be solo artists. I mean, Chris Kirkpatrick, I think, would be a good example of that. I don't think he wanted to pursue a solo career.
Yeah, I don't think so.
And didn't.
Mm. Yeah.
So.
And even if we look back to it, and here, well, there's two things I'll bring up. I guess I'll bring this part up first. Let's say Destiny's Child, for example. So Beyonce has gone off to be Beyonce, has done extremely right. well.
Yeah.
Both the other two ladies of the last rendition, Kelly Rowland and Michelle Williams, have each gone off and done pretty well also. Like Michelle, yeah. her genre has done very well. And Kelly, because she's kind of similar, she, you know, she had a bit of a career in the dance music industry, and then or in the dance genre, I should say. And then she's done acting now, and she's in a new movie, and, you know, all that stuff. So she's doing very well. But I heard, and I haven't had a chance to investigate it further, but I think she was not pleased as of late when she still gets asked about Beyonce.
Yikes.
During her interview. And I'm saying this allegedly because, again, I haven't, you know, fully been able to see the article myself, but I heard that, like, I remember seeing, you know, it had to be very tough for Janet, for example, to always be asked about Michael early in her career.
Sure.
You know, like, especially when she had Control and that did extremely well. I think it was sold over 9 million albums or something. And she's still being asked by interviewers overseas, like, so have you seen Michael lately? Like, what? You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, what are your thoughts on how those types of band members who are a success but are not, let's say, Beyonce success, need to still answer about being buds with Beyonce?
Well, let me just add also that Michelle Williams was also on that show, We Are Family.
Oh,
I think
great.
It was, okay. I think it was her cousin that was singing first. Yeah, I think it's sort of, it's like a necessary evil. And then you're like, but is it a necessary evil? Do you have to ask?
Yeah.
Like, it's because you'd want them to be asked because you think they know something.
Yes.
And yet you'd not want them to be asked because you think they know something. You know, like, mm-hmm. we're not here to talk about them.
Yeah.
We're here to talk about my work, but you don't want to put them in a position to say that, even though they might think that. So I wonder if they are better served knowing those questions are coming and having a prepared answer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or a lie.
Yeah, also true.
Broke and his foot. You know,
I haven't seen
him in years. Don't talk to him. Things like that.
I don't know about you, but I've been in a situation where I've been interviewing whoever and like, you know, they have a connection to whoever. And like, sometimes the pull is strong as an interviewer to be like, should I ask? Out?
Yeah.
And sometimes you like, I think you kind of get a vibe from a person if you think you can even ask one or two questions and then move on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you ask the question, you must be tired of hearing about fill in the blank.
Yeah.
But for someone like at least with Janet and Michael, the history of the Jackson family long preceded Janet's career. Mm-hmm. So you can see why that, because it's family, right?
Mm-hmm.
For like Michelle Williams and having to be asked about Beyonce, that didn't even make any sense.
Yeah. Yeah, especially because the band hasn't been, was it 2006 they broke up? Like it's...
Like, and so you would ask maybe a comparable question or a comparison question, like, how does your solo this compared to, you know, life in a group setting?
Yeah.
But you don't ask about Beyonce, like, that's dumb.
Yeah.
Like that's not prepping your interview well, I think.
Yeah, no. And it's interesting too, because I recently interviewed a choreographer and this person has worked with everybody, like Britney Spears, Justin Timberlake, Janet, like the list goes on. And it was interesting to get his take because it kind of came up about how, because he's very successful and has like, you know, a gajillion followers on social media, especially Instagram. And he used to be, I will say, very much, I think, wanting media attention mm-hmm. on some level. But now, like, he's older and he's like, ugh. He's like, I do what I do because I need to do it. And it's more about my art and I realize what's important with my art. But then he and Tony's like, and also he's like, I'm very aware that sometimes when people want to speak to me, it's because they want to know what it was like to work with Justin Timberlake.
Right.
And he's like, I know that that's not necessarily a true fan of mine because they're a fan of me being in proximity to XYZ person.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's some level of, I think I said dumb before. I think lazy is probably more an accurate description of that style of interview.
Yeah.
Because you want the person to know that, you know, they worked with so-and-so, do you know, which is who cares?
Yeah.
You're not supposed to be talking about you. You're supposed to be talking about their work.
Yeah. And last question for you. This goes back to some more band stuff, like boy band, girl band. Mm-hmm. Is there a girl or boy band that you think did lose, or that you know of, that lost a member, quote unquote, and mm-hmm. carried on and you were okay with? And I'll just give you an example, like Spice Girls carried on for a bit without Jerry.
Yeah. I was fine with that. I can't think of another one, actually.
Fifth Harmony, when Camila Cabello.
Oh, right. Wasn't that a thing on the award show when somebody fell off? Yeah, they made a real dramatic statement. She went flying off. Okay, I guess that's representative of what has just happened to this group.
Yeah. That was really in bad taste upon reflection.
Oh, it was awful.
I remember at the time not being, I'm like, who on the team thought that was a good idea? And sure enough, it came to bite them in the butt because I don't even think they lasted another year.
No. And I'm going to bet, I would bet that it was a male that came up with that.
Yeah.
Like a saucy guy saying, you should do this. Like sort of a stirring the pot sort of move. Yeah. It wasn't a good one, I don't think. I think for Spice Girls, that really put the pressure on, you know, all of them singing.
Mm-hmm.
It really draws attention if you remove one piece of the puzzle where you saw that they were five strong. Mm-hmm. Let's see what happens when they're four.
Yeah.
And they did fine. You know, more than fine. Clearly they went on for a few years after that.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I actually, funny enough, like I actually really liked their song Holler. Do you remember that song?
Yes.
But then that album really didn't do much. I think cause it was more of an R&B flavored thing and it didn't really, I don't think it was full pop. And so maybe their pop fans were not feeling it, but
probably.
Anyways, happy to know.
Finicky bunch, eh?
Yeah. last question, favorite boy or boy band, girl band, who's your favorite?
Oh my goodness, I do love NSYNC. I do love the Backstreet Boys.
Mm-hmm.
I do love Boys to Men. I love them all, Kel, because I feel that I can find my place vocally within them when I'm having my own in-car concert.
I see.
I'm one of them.
I love it.
Bye, bye, bye. You know?
Bye, 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 Sharon Hyland. Thank you very much for this.
Thank you, Kel.
That is our music editor, Sharon Hyland. Follow her on Instagram at the Sharon Hyland. And of course, on the podcast that we co-host together, 90s Now, and the social media handles at 90s Now FM.
Listen anytime, any place. Just a click away. KellyAlexanderShow.com.
Joining us on the show is Montreal-born and raised award-winning actress Megan Rath, who has starred in shows like Hawaii Five-O, Being Human, New Girl, as well as appearing in shows like Schitt's Creek, Flashpoint, Magnum P.I., and Kingdom with Nick Jonas. Megan has a new role on CTV's new original comedy, Children Ruin Everything, and is here to talk to us all about it. Megan, thanks so much for hanging out with us.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
So first of all, tell us what area of the city you grew up in and what you love most about your hometown of Montreal.
I grew up in Montreal West. My parents still live there. Montreal is the greatest city in Canada. It is just full of culture and fun and diversity, and it's my home.
I love that you still love Montreal. That's great. Because sometimes when people leave, you're like, do they care about us anymore? So happy that you, you still do.
I care so deeply.
What do you miss? Like, is there a restaurant that you miss, like right now, that you could say, I miss this food?
I mean, I have a friend that's there now that just took a picture at Schwartz's, and I have to say, I know that's like so cliche, but I would like kill for a smoked meat sandwich.
Okay. That's perfect. Tell us how you got into acting, and was your family supportive right off the bat?
It was always something that I wanted to do. My parents put me in acting classes when I was really young, and it was kind of like a right place at the right time thing. The acting studio that I was at had my picture on the wall. A casting director who was casting for a film came in, asked me to audition, and I got the part. My parents were supportive. They knew nothing about the industry in any way, but were just loving and supportive parents, sort of learned about the entire industry along with me.
What would you consider to be your first big break that got you noticed?
It's so hard to answer that because I feel like there were different roles at different times of my life that, you know, changed my career in certain ways. But 15 Love was my first television series that I shot when I was like 16 years old in Canada right after high school. And that sort of set me on the trajectory of like, okay, yeah, this is what I want to do for sure. This is the greatest thing imaginable. But I feel like there were lots of roles along the way that changed things for me, like Being Human. I grew up on that show. And then coming to the States and working here quite a bit. I will say that when I did Rogue, that set my career on a different kind of trajectory, and like people really saw me as a dramatic actress, which, well, I was doing, but not in that way. It was like a very gritty drama, and I'm very grateful for that show.
Was there a specific point in time when you made the decision, yeah, I need to move to Los Angeles, or was it like a gradual thing that just kind of happened?
It was sort of a gradual thing. It was kind of always my goal to live there and work in the States, just because of the amount of opportunity that was here. So I did Being Human, and which shot in Montreal. Luckily enough, I got to be in my hometown shooting that show. And then when that was done, I was like, I knew that I would make the move.
Joining us on the show is award-winning actress Megan Rath, who hails from Montreal and is currently starring on CTV's new comedy, Children Ruin Everything. You can follow Megan on Instagram at Megan Rath. And Children Ruin Everything airs Wednesdays at 8 o'clock on CTV. So Megan, you play Astrid on the show. And how were you approached about the project? And was it an easy yes for you?
Yeah, absolutely. The project came to me maybe a year and a half before we actually shot. And there were some things that didn't work out, like timing wise, but I loved the scripts and was super, super interested in the character and the stories, but also, you know, the team that put it together. I'm such a huge fan of everybody. They're so, so talented, especially Kurt, our creator, who is just like a prolific writer in Canada, but also it's such a personal story to him. And it's so clear when you read the scripts that like the character was so easy to connect to that it just, I mean, I couldn't stop thinking about it.
What do you like most about your role and the show in general?
I love that our characters, like James and Astra, the parents, feel like real people. They're not just playing these archetypes of what parents are on a sitcom. They're real people who had a life before children, and that really comes through. in each episode because they're trying to retain a sense of that life that they've lost. And so I love the way that they communicate with each other, the way that they communicate with the kids. They have a lot of respect for each other and speak to each other in ways that, like, you can tell that the characters have been through therapy.
That's so cool. Now, I read that, and I believe I read this on your Instagram, that you were about 5 months pregnant when you were filming the show. So I wanted to know, did you being pregnant help kind of the idea of you playing a mom, or was it more of a challenge because you were pregnant and were having to still be at work?
It was actually like a great time in my pregnancy because I was 5 months pregnant, so I was done with the throwing up. And I had this sudden burst of energy, which worked out really well because the second we finished shooting, I couldn't get off the couch. it was perfect timing. And I think, you know, I don't know what it contributed to any parenting I'm doing now, but I certainly, now that I have a 4.5-month-old, I'm hearing the echoes of all the scripts in my dreams and in my waking life constantly. And I have definitely a new appreciation for it that I didn't have when we were shooting, that I, of course, thought I had. But now I understand it too, in an all new capacity.
Now, I know you're a new mom, but do you already feel like this shift that you've obviously gone through by now becoming a parent? Do you think it's already influencing the roles and the situations and projects you're going to take on next?
I mean, I hadn't really thought about it, but I guess, you know, life experience contributes so much to the kind of work that you're doing. And I feel like I've grown as a person so much in this last little bit. I mean, it's been, I don't know. Do you have a kid?
No, I have two huskies.
So. Okay. Well, yes, so I also have two dogs, but so it's an overwhelming thing that, like, you could never really prepare for. So I definitely feel like I have a new arsenal of emotions that I can bring that are right at the surface, just ready to break through at any moment. Just say one thing and I'll burst into tears right now.
You'd be great on like a soap opera then, like a Young and the Restless. That'd be awesome.
100%.
Can you tell us what it felt like to be back in Canada filming this in Toronto? Like, obviously I know you're in Montreal, which I appreciate and I love. But I also lived in Toronto and I know that the different vibes between the two cities. So what was it like being in Toronto?
Yeah, there was a lot. I mean, as you can imagine, there was a lot of hockey talk about, like, you know, the Leafs versus the Habs. It was really a subject on set among the crew. But yeah, I mean, I have spent a lot of time in Toronto growing up and I have lots of family there. So it was just, I mean, it is such a different vibe, but it was nice. You know, we were there during the pandemic, so it wasn't like I was able to go out and really enjoy the city because we were very much locked down while we were shooting. So anytime that we had off, which was, you know, a couple of the weekend, I wasn't doing anything. I was hibernating.
That's fair. I usually ask this next question of musicians, but I thought it might be interesting to hear your answer. If you could switch places with another actor/actress and or producer for like a day, who would it be and why?
On the show or just in general?
In life, in anywhere.
Oh my God. An actress, I would say maybe Emily Blunt. She seems to be a delight. Her husband seems to be a delight. She does great work and great movies. That'd be fun.
That's a good one. Aside from your family and friends, who is the coolest person in your phone that you can call or text?
Oh my God. That is such a good question that I wish I could, like, go through my phone and look before we did this interview. Sometimes when you have someone you think is cool in your phone, they're not actually that cool. Like, you know who would be great? Like, I have Peter Weller, who played RoboCop and is a, like, really, really awesome director. He's in my phone. He's a good time to talk to and to text. Like, I would say that as an answer.
Okay, that's fair. And because of your Montreal fans and the Montreal connection we have with you, can you please finish this sentence? The best thing about Montreal is
the people.
I love that. Now, do you have a message for your Montreal fans before I let you go?
I mean, I did. Well, thank you so much for all your support and making Montreal feel like home every time I go back, no matter how much time has passed. And I love you.
What is up next for Megan Rath after this show? And hopefully, obviously, we're getting a season two. We're fingers crossed.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to do more episodes. That would definitely be so great to be back in Canada and film. But yeah, there's a couple other things in the pipeline. Hopefully that I don't want to talk about now and jinx, but I'm excited to, you know, like I took some time off because I was having a baby and been caring for the baby. So now I'm excited to start working again.
Amazing. Well, Megan, it's been such a pleasure to have you. Thank you so much for making time for us.
Thanks for having me.
That is Canadian actress Megan Rath. Don't forget to check her out on Instagram at Megan Rath. And of course, Children Ruin Everything airs Wednesdays at 8 o'clock on CTV.
The Kelly Alexander Show.
As always, thank you so much for spending time with us on the program this week, and a big shout out to our guests, Megan Rath and Sharon Hyland. My thanks, of course, to our producer, Andrew Sabino, for doing such a wonderful job putting the show together. And don't forget to follow us on all of our social media handles. You can do that by hitting up our website, kellyalexandershow.com. Have an amazing week. You and I will chat soon.
The Kelly Alexander Show.